Hey, welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I am Jeff Garcia, your host for today. I'm also the lead writer over at News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio's Spurs Zone. Your San Antonio Spurs are still off. They will not resume play until tomorrow night versus the Denver Nuggets. So I figure what better time than to check in and how the kids are doing. Those kids being Keldon Johnson, Lucas Samanic, Weatherspoon, and who else is up there playing in Austin or in San Antonio? And I thought, who would be best to talk about that than Carl Schoening? He is the Austin Spurs broadcaster and the digital media coordinator with the Texas State Bobcats Club. Carl, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. It's been a while, and you realize I'm going to be picking your brain so much right now about the youngsters.
Hey, Jeff. Yeah, no worries. You know, I'm at every game, so I feel qualified enough to talk about the Austin Spurs games, at least every home game. That's how the G League does the broadcast. The home team is responsible for the more or less neutral broadcast, but obviously I kind of broadcast with a little bit of silver and black in my outfit.
Yeah, that you do. And by the way, do you love it when I give you a little bit of ribbing during the Austin game home games, where I'll take a snapshot of you on the broadcast and I'll go, hey, I know this guy.
Hey, more exposure. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Hey, well, speaking of the Austin Spurs, and again, you know, you are the man to go to, considering you have a little bit more insight than maybe I do. The few of the Austin Spurs rookies / San Antonio Spurs rookies are playing with the big club right now, that being Weatherspoon and Keldon Johnson and Lucas Samanic. Seeing them play right now for San Antonio, even though it may be in spot minutes, who has impressed you? What are your thoughts? What are your taking away? We'll start off with Keldon Johnson, the obvious.
Yeah, well, you know, it's amazing to me that the SEC Freshman of the Year fell to 29. That's the first time in the John Calipari Kentucky era that the SEC Freshman of the Year has dropped that low in the draft, and Spurs just had to snag him. You know, that obviously he was on the board at 19, and they went with Lucas Samanic, who is just goozing with potential and talent. And, you know, we'll talk about him obviously, but Keldon Johnson is somebody that is very much a ball of clay. He's very talented in lots of ways. He can play multiple positions. He's very tenacious. He has a motor that doesn't really stop. And he's really going to be known for his penetrating ability. He can get to the rim almost at will at the G League, and he's shown that as a translatable skill in the NBA. And I really think that his energy is going to be contagious. And if you go back to the Utah Summer League, Thomas Robinson, who was on the team for Austin, called him Baby Russ. He gave him the nickname of, like, you know, Baby Russell Westbrook. And you can kind of see that. He obviously is somebody who has a very high energy about him. And I think that that's something that will really catch the attention of Spurs fans.
Yeah, look, with Austin, he's averaging some eye-opening numbers. I believe something a little over 20 points per game, close to 6 rebounds per game, and just about 2 assists per game in 30 minutes of action. So, you know, you kind of project that and say, okay, well, that's against the G League level talent. You know, what can that do in the NBA? And so far, it's been pretty eye-opening. And even in the game versus the Mavericks recently, yeah, maybe he didn't light up the offensive end, but defensively, he was hounding Luka Doncic. There's been that video that's been going around social media among Spurs fans of him just really putting the clamps on Luka. When you saw that, and since you cover the Austin Spurs more intimately than I do, were you shocked, or you're saying, yep, that's Keldon for you?
You know, obviously he's asked to do a lot more on the offensive end in Austin. And on top of that, he will occasionally guard the opposing team's best perimeter defender. So it's very common for me to see him do well defensively. But, you know, Luka Doncic is a legitimate star in this league. Yes, and the fact that he was able to just do that, maybe Doncic was taking the rookie lightly, and he learned not to make that mistake. But Keldon being able to just kind of calm down and, you know, expend more of that energy on the defensive end, that surprised me a little bit. You know, I know that he's pretty good, but not many rookies in the NBA can do that to Luka Doncic, who is far and away the best European prospect of all time. So you go ahead and talk about all the things Doncic has done. That's a nice bright spot for the rookie.
Yeah, exactly. And this season with the San Antonio Spurs, he's had a season high in 13 points at Brooklyn, season high in rebounds, again, at Brooklyn, 5, and even assist 3 versus the Thunder this season. It looks like the sky's the limit for Keldon. And before we transition to another rookie, just want to leave you this thought, Carl. I was able to catch up with some of the Spurs at the Brooklyn game. And from Derek White to Patty Mills, all of them were just amazed by Keldon Johnson. Derek White was asked about him, and his first reaction was, oh boy, that guy. I mean, he really was just eyes open, mouth dropped. And then Patty Mills, too, he said it very succinctly, saying, I'm impressed with Keldon. Your thoughts on how the veterans reacted to Keldon's play?
You know, I think that that's all part of the process. These guys, especially now, more than half of the San Antonio Spurs roster has seen the process of, you know, you spend your first year in Austin. For a lot of these guys, basically their sophomore year in college, except mm-hmm. it's tougher competition because these are all mostly men who are out of the NCAA ranks as seniors that have graduated. And you're going up against men in a men's league, and Kelvin right. Johnson has very much impressed. He is somebody who is still learning and improving, as most 20-year-olds will tend to do. But he is somebody who I think does have a bright future ahead of him. And you know, the Spurs, I know some fans disagree with how they go about the whole Austin prospect, mm-hmm. but I really do think that that has tremendously helped his improvement.
Yep, the light is shining bright on Keldon Johnson and his future in the NBA. All right, let's shift now to Luka Samanic. He finally made his NBA debut versus the Nets recently, and you know, it was a bit of a rocky start. And in the little time that he's gotten since, you know, again, he really hasn't been able to showcase what he can do. You know, either it'd be just limited minutes or he's just trying to figure his way out. Your thoughts on Samanic so far and the little time that you've seen him playing on the NBA level?
Well, first, if you don't mind me correcting you, Jeff, a little Croatian tip. It's the same thing as Dario Šarić. It is mm-hmm. Luka Šamanić. So Šamanić is how he pronounces his last name.
Oh, okay.
He hasn't gotten the chance to really, you know, make a name for himself so people know his name, but I have to pronounce it correctly on the broadcast, obviously.
And, right, yes.
Luka is definitely a position of need for the Spurs. Obviously, when they drafted him, the Spurs weren't quite sure what was going on with, you know, Davis Bertans, who will be a free agent this summer, and obviously we are aware of how things ended up with Marcus Morris and, you know, the unfortunate situation there, which, you know, really put the Spurs behind the eight ball. And the good news is the stretch four, which is probably one of the most important positions in modern basketball, at least for NBA offenses, is Luka is somebody that the Spurs are sort of grooming into that position. He can really shoot it from three, but he's also a 19, 20-year-old who's really getting his first minutes in a men's league, not mm-hmm. playing against his peers. So, you know, this year in Austin is arguably more important for him to, you know, take advantage of. And now he's getting some minutes with the, you know, affiliate club in San Antonio. So I imagine right. that he's going to be somebody that they watch the development, but he can shoot it. He can put the ball on the floor. He's most comfortable posting up, mainly because he is a legitimate solid frame 6'11 big man. He's mm-hmm. he's a solid 235, 240. And I know he looks skinny, but he's really athletic, and he has a really strong lower body. So he'll fill out that frame. He's already done a little mm-hmm. bit of that, and he just needs to basically mature on the basketball court, because that's one of these things that we realize as you know, the modern world of the internet has come around. We see these kids really since they're 16, 17 years old. And due to the fact that they will get drafted at 19, you have to draft the talented ones at 19 or 20 mm-hmm. years old. And the Spurs went ahead right. and spent their 19th draft pick on the Croatian forward out of, I think he played just 10 minutes out of a, a second division team. So, you know, his development will also need to be taken with some patience, but I think he has just a very high ceiling. I almost compare this year as the same as Kristaps Porzingis's. If you remember, Kristaps Porzingis actually was in the draft his first year eligible, didn't like where he was being drafted, went to the Spanish ACB, had a really solid year, and then went top five. I kind of think that this 1 year for Luka is very similar to Porzingis's 1 year in the Spanish ACB, in the sense that, you know, he's maybe not quite ready. He would have been a borderline lottery pick, but, you know, he might be somebody that could have been drafted top five. And I'm not trying to give him, you know, too much great, you know, expectations, but he is definitely somebody that I think has just a ton of potential, and he'll be worth the wait. I know fans, again, want to see guys right away, but you want to make sure that these guys are developed properly, and I really like what I've seen from him in Austin.
Yeah, Luka recently, this season, let's put it that way, he had a interview with a foreign outlet, and I forget the outlet, so please forgive me, but he pretty much said that he's still adjusting to the NBA style, the G League style, saying, you know, hey, you know, it's a totally different beast, but he seems to be adjusting well, and with the Spurs believing in him and picking him with their first pick in the last summer's draft, that should bode well for young Luka moving forward. All right, let's switch now to Weatherspoon. Now, of the three rookies, Carl, I got to tell you this much. I thought he would be the one to really stand out. Why? Because he was a four-year guy. You know, he came in with an NBA-ready body. You know, his basketball IQ, learning curve, maybe a little shorter than Keldon and Luka's. And so far in Austin, wow, he's really been impressing me. I mean, he's not putting up tremendous numbers like Keldon is, but he's putting up very respectable numbers. Your thoughts on Weatherspoon, and I guess maybe it's unfair to talk about him playing with San Antonio because he really hasn't got that much burn yet, but your thoughts on Weatherspoon's development?
Well, yeah, he's a two-way guy, and I think that the whole point of the two-way players is to have depth at certain positions, as we see Drew Eubanks getting a lot of minutes because he's in his second year of his two-way contract, and this is Quindary's first year of the two-way contract. And you know, first team all SEC players are worth a look because that is a conference that sends players to the NBA every year. And obviously the Spurs got him, I believe, 49th overall, but he might have been a little bit higher on their draft board, so they might have been very happy to get him at that point. And, you know, again, they'll develop him how they're going to develop him, and a two-way contract is really ideal at this particular moment just because the Spurs are so loaded in that backcourt. You know, we can go ahead and list half the roster, but it is good to have him there. And, you know, that's the other thing is, if he were a sophomore who put up the same numbers he put up as a senior, he probably would have been a first-round pick. So, you know, is 2 years really that much of a difference? Is maybe a little bit of athleticism or shooting touch that much of a difference? Sometimes, yes. But, as you said, Quindary is putting up pretty respectable numbers. I think he's really improved his three-point shot, which is a big part of players' time in the G League, considering the distance between the NCAA or FIBA three-point line and the NBA, you know, that foot makes a big difference sometimes. And I think he also, you know, you have to learn how to be a point guard in a very structured offense. And not every NCAA team runs a structured offense. I'm a little spoiled. I go to Texas State games, and Danny Casper runs a very structured system. But sometimes the NCAA guys have to deal with these one-and-done kids, and their basketball IQ is yet to be developed because they're 18 years old and they were just dominating off pure talent in high school. And, you know, so sometimes some of these systems are sort of made for them to be successful right away. But, you know, I think Quindary getting time in a structured offense with the Spurs is the Austin Spurs, I should say, is very good for him and his development. And, you know, he might be somebody who's on the main roster when he's 26, and you know, that's like 3 years away. So, you know, again, I think a lot of times we're eager to, you know, go on to the next prospect if somebody doesn't pan out right away, but the Spurs are smarter than that. They're patient. And I think those are sort of the things that, they look for. And obviously, they always go for quality guys on top of that. So
right.
Q, he's very tough on the court, and he's great.
Yeah, he really is. He's very tough, tough as nails. He may not be the tallest guy out there, but my goodness, he's built like a bulldozer. He's very strong, gets to the rim easily, and can finish, dish. He can really do it all on both ends of the court. So things are looking bright for the trio of rookies this season in Austin and now with San Antonio, and hopefully they'll continue their development as the season moves on. When we get back, Carl and I are going to continue our chat about the Austin Spurs, and maybe, just maybe, is there another player on the Austin roster that should open some eyes in San Antonio? We're back, and I'm joined by Carl Schoening. He is the Austin Spurs broadcaster and digital media coordinator with the Texas State Bobcats Club. Carl, how is that going for you, your digital media duties now? I believe you have a new Bobcat show, which was quite impressive when I got a look at it.
Yeah, yeah, thanks for that. Being you know, digital media coordinator at Texas State University for the Bobcat Club is great. It's what we do is we help fundraise for scholarships for the Texas State student athletes, and you know, it's not something, unfortunately, where we can just go ahead and say, "Oh yeah, you're going to be a student here, you get free education." You have to raise that money, and you know, mm-hmm. that's part of the process. And I work with a lot of great people over here at Texas State University, and I think it's a school on the rise and will continue to be. I think our football coach, Jake Spavital, has a team that you know, he's really going to surprise some people with how good they are this upcoming fall. And not to mention the fact that Danny Casper, who I mentioned earlier, has really good, solid, well-disciplined and very skilled basketball team. They're playing in the Sun Belt Conference tournament and, you know, just all around a very, you know, high class, top of the line Division One school here in Central Texas. And, you know, if you're a Spurs fan and you're someone who enjoys sports, Danny Casper really does pull a lot from what Greg Popovich does. He used to coach at the University of the Incarnate Word and Baylor, so he has some Greg Popovich tutelage within him. And you know, if you're a fan of the basketball team, Zenere Antoine, who actually played with Becky Hammond at Colorado State, she's a very great coach here for our women's basketball team. So you know, if you're a Spurs fan, you should definitely be a Bobcat fan if you don't have a school to cheer on the NCAA ranks.
Yeah, you can definitely follow Carl on Twitter at KSMedia13. He'll have everything there for you regarding the Texas State Bobcats Club and Austin Spurs coverage. So let's go ahead and circle back now to the Austin Spurs. And we touched on the three rookies, but there are a couple of other players, maybe more, that also should be on the Spurs radar, or at least maybe I hope they are. Let's start off with Chimezi Metu. He is a guy that Spurs fans are clamoring to see put on a San Antonio jersey more often than an Austin jersey. What have you seen out of Metu so far this season?
You know, I see somebody who is very talented, and you know, obviously the Spurs like him as sort of a bit of a forward, a tweener, if you will, where if you talk about the ability to maybe defend some fours, play a little three, stretch the four with the three-pointer, maybe be able to score in the post. Chimezi is very versatile, and he's a good defender. But I also think the Spurs wanted him to kind of work on his consistency because, you know, that's the whole point of getting heavy minutes in the G League is you actually get a chance to play and make mistakes and, you know, build film that you can study. And ever since that Chimezi has been the lone assignment player for the Austin Spurs, he has been playing really well. And you know, it's hard sometimes when you have five guys down that you're trying to develop, you know, with two-way players and three assignment players. But because of injuries with the affiliate club in San Antonio, both two-way players were up in with the Spurs, as well as the rookies who have been on assignment most of the year. So Chimezi's really gotten a chance to kind of get some high usage rate reps, and I think that that'll help in his development. And then also, you know, just working within the Spurs system and figuring out where you need to be, where you can get your touches when you aren't the focal point of the offense, but, you know, the offense still eventually comes to you at some point, how you're going to be able to not force issues and things like that. I think Chemezi is really taken a step in the right direction towards his development here in the last few months. And I know, again, Spurs fans want to see him in San Antonio, but trust me, these guys know a lot more about basketball than we do. Blake Ahern is a great coach, and they should just go ahead and, you know, trust the process, because unlike the 76ers process of, you know, hey, we're just getting all these great draft picks, this is the Spurs process of, hey, we're bringing in talented players and we're coaching them up. And just because they're 23 and you want to see them on the court, how about you wait till they're 25 and, you know, they're ready to actually play some serious minutes? I think that, you know, I'm just throwing out age numbers there, but, you know, Chemezi is very much one of those guys.
Yeah, one thing I've liked him when I've been watching him play in Austin is that he's developing a game outside of the paint. They see him as this rim runner, rim rocker, dunker, you know, and that's great. And this, you know, that's good to see in his development. But I'm starting to see him be a little bit more confident in the 3-point shooting, as well as a bit of a mid-range shot. Very, I might be pushing it here, Carl, but Tim Duncan asked a jab step, then shot and bank off into for the bucket.
You're pushing a little bit right there. I kind of see what you mean, but he is shooting 40% from three right now in the G League. And, you know, that's not anything to scoff at. I know some people will scoff at that because it's the G League and all of those things about how the talent might not be there. But these guys are super competitive at the G League level, and the 3-point line is the same distance as it is in the NBA, and that's a big deal for the actual shooting motion and muscle memory. And, you know, everybody in the G League is probably told if you're a pretty good defender, you have a better chance of getting called up. So, you know, these guys, even though there's a lot of points given up in the G League, these guys are definitely out there competing on both ends of the court.
Let's transition now to Drew Eubanks, who has been getting the most, a good chunk of time with the San Antonio club. You know, where do you see him fitting in? You know, I think you, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Spurs have a decision with him as well this offseason, whether he's going to be with them or not. How is he fitting in? I personally think he could find a role with the San Antonio club.
Yeah, you know, Drew Eubanks is a throwback player, and I don't mean throwback as in too far, although you can go further back and say that he would be a successful player in the 70s, 80s, 90s, etc. He is somebody who probably would be on NBA rosters back in the early 2000s to, you know, the 2010s, where offensive rebounding was prioritized, and, you know, post scoring was needed. Nowadays, you don't have too many of those guys. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge is more or less that person for the Spurs. Then Jakob Poeltl, if you talk about guys that aren't necessarily used for floor spacing, although, you know, LaMarcus was showing off his range a little bit there for a while. Eubanks did knock down a three, but that was his only three of the season. And, you know, if he could extend his range and be a consistent volume shooter, in a way, you're also taking away what he is so good at, which is rebounding and scoring around the basket, where he shoots, I think, like something like 65% in Austin inside the arc with a two. So, it's one of those things where you obviously like seeing Drew Eubanks come in and play well, and they will just go ahead and keep evaluating the situation, because he is a person who is somebody who they've spent time with, and they need to make some decisions about that front court, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully bright things are ahead for Drew Eubanks, and I love his energy on that bench, and he really loves pumping up the team, especially his react when DeMar DeRozan just dunked on a player this season, and his interaction with Jakob Poeltl. That was awesome. Fans do appreciate him. All right, when we get back, Carl and I are going to wrap up our conversation about the Austin Spurs. We're back, and I'm joined by Carl Schoening. He is the Austin Spurs broadcaster and digital media coordinator with the Texas State Bobcat Club. Briefly, and I know you're short on time, Carl, so I don't want to eat up too much more. Is there anybody else on that Austin roster that could open eyes in San Antonio?
Oh, Dedrick Austin, hands down. You know, then I don't mean to, you know, jump over everybody else on the roster, and, you know, I can go ahead and break down each individual. But Dedrick Austin is an Exhibit 10 guy, which means he was with the Spurs in training camp, and the Austin Spurs thus got his rights when the Spurs didn't sign him to an NBA contract. So he's been playing with Austin. He led the Big 12 in scoring and rebounding last year. He led the American Athletic in rebounding the 2 years that he played at Memphis. He came out a year early, still had an eligibility left at Kansas, but you know, I think he wanted to go ahead and jump to the professional ranks. And even though he's not on an NBA roster, he probably will be. He's pretty good. So he can shoot the three. He can score in the post. Yeah, you know, I think if he had one area for improvement that would make sure he got to the NBA, it would be that he could maybe be a little bit better defending on pick and rolls in terms of moving his feet. But overall, he is just a phenomenal talent. I really enjoy watching him play, how he plays, and I think he can help out NBA teams.
Well, hopefully that will happen for him in the near future, whether it be in San Antonio or with another team. He, and you're right, I enjoy watching Lawson play during Austin games. High energy guy, big guy too, very smart too. I love the way he just, you know, he's able to find that extra guy in a hurry, and he's able to get the key rebound and that hustle. So I really enjoy watching Lawson. So crossing fingers that maybe, just maybe, he stays in San Antonio. But if not, hey, brighter things are ahead for him. Carl, one more time. Tell us all about the Texas State Bobcats Club and your work with the Austin Spurs.
Yeah, you know, more importantly, I guess, to me these days is the Bobcat Club. It's where I work full time. And, you know, any donation helps. It's obviously no one donation is going to cover 350 plus student athlete scholarships. But, you know, it's a group. It's a community. It's Bobcat fans supporting Texas State Athletics. And I really think that overall the Bobcats can make a lot of noise in the NCAA. They're one of the best Sun Belt Conference teams across all sports, and they're pretty good in all sports. So, you know, I think if you're a member of the Bobcat Club, there's a lot that comes with it in terms of, you know, being able to come to premium seating and stuff like that. But overall, Texas State is just a great place to work. I enjoy it. And, you know, when it comes to the Austin Spurs, I still very much enjoy that. 24 games a year, whether I'm timeout coordinator on the Fox Sports broadcast, or I'm working with Lincoln, or, you know, it's myself and Alan Zepeda who does sidelines when I do play-by-play. It's a good time. And, you know, between the Austin Spurs and the Texas State Bobcats, I'm pretty busy. And I still watch some San Antonio Spurs games from time to time. But, you know, sometimes schedules overlap, and, you know, I'll just have to catch the Spurs on a recording later.
He is Carl Schoening. You can follow him on Twitter at KSMedia13. He is a great follow. He, from everything from the Austin Spurs to Texas State Bobcats Club, to even some health advice. He's helped me a few times with some tips and tricks regarding physical health. He's a great follow on Twitter. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Speaking of the Spurs Zone, go to it. News 4 San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. Everything you need to know about the silver and black in one spot, from this podcast to, well, what about Patty Mills and what is his secret to playing very, very well? You can find that out at the Spurs Zone. And of course, subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you find your favorite podcast. So for Carl Schoening, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.